So it's at Luke 24, verses 13 to 33. Now behold, two of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with them and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found that the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And may God burn us with his word, burn us to the core, so we know truly what he wants of us."
Father God, we thank you for this incredible story about the road to Emmaus. We thank you for those that are involved. We thank you for the message that you will speak into our hearts right now. And we give you permission, Holy Spirit, to come and speak your truth to each one of us as we need it, Lord God, for where we are at and what you would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an interesting story, this one, the road to Emmaus, isn't it? You've all heard it before, I'm sure. You've all seen it acted out, or you've seen it talked about. It has some amazing questions raised in the middle of it, doesn't it? What's going on with this story? I find it interesting that on the day that Jesus rises from the dead, we have two of the disciples are up and leaving. They're out of there. They're going home. Many of the commentary writers talk about Emmaus is actually where these guys live, and they're going home. It's all over. The party's over. Jesus is dead. Even though as they were talking to Jesus along the road, they did say that some of their women who had gone and seen that the tomb was empty, and some angels had appeared to them, but they didn't see Jesus. And it doesn't say it in the Bible, because you can't really say it, and you can't even say it today, but probably what they were saying was, and mate, they were only the women, so who knows what they were on about. Did you read it? Did you hear that bit? Yeah? It was a male-dominated society. So what the women said, well, you can't put 100% credence in that, mate. And that these guys are sad. And even Jesus said, why are you sad? They're sad. They've given up. Probably even defeated. And they're walking. I don't know about your Bibles, but most of the Bibles I found said 7 miles. Apparently that's about 11 and a half kilometers. Some of your Bibles might have 60 furlongs if you've got a really old one. About 11 and a half, 12 kilometers. I don't know about you, but that would take me about 2 hours to walk. So where does it start the day? It says, now on that day, some were heading to the village called Emmaus. It doesn't say what time of the day, but we know that it's near the evening by the time they get there. So I reckon they were dawdling as they went, because 2 hours should get through that pretty quickly. They're chatting away. They're talking about all the events that had taken place. We know one of the gentlemen's names, don't we? Cleopas. We know who he is. We know he's one of the disciples. And there's another one that's not mentioned. It's an interesting little side shoot is to try and find out who that other person is. A lot of the commentary writers talk about this other disciple actually being Luke, the writer of this book. Because a lot of the time when John writes his book or Matthew, they don't mention who they are when they tell a story where they're involved. Or they might use another name. So it may be Luke himself that's in this story, telling it. The other Gospels don't give this story a lot of time or energy. In fact, two of the Gospels don't even mention this story. So it may be, in fact, the other disciple walking along this journey is Luke himself telling this story of how he was transformed at this time in his life. They're walking along, talking about the sad events. Terrible events for them. And as we shared last week, the terrible things that Jesus went through to get to the cross. And if you want to have some time, have a look at Luke 23, another section of what Jesus went through going towards the cross. It's such an incredible story where it starts with Pilate strongly saying, this is Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. And then when they talk about that he's from Galilee, Pilate quickly goes, he's from Galilee? Excellent. Send him over here to Herod. And Herod gets there and goes, great, I'm glad you came, Jesus. I've heard all about you. Do one of your magic tricks for me. And when he doesn't do anything, Herod gets ticked off with him. And as if it's with some play toy, says, you're no good to me, you Jesus. Go back to Pilate. And an interesting little slant that says there in the book of Luke, it says, and on that day, Pilate and Herod became what? Besties. Best friends. Interesting. And then again, before Pilate, Jesus is found not guilty. And Pilate tries everything he can. He even says, okay, I'll let one of them go. Do you want Barabbas, this rotten, bad person who's killed people? Or do you want Jesus, who's really done nothing wrong and I find no guilt in? And what do? The whole crowd yells, we give this the bad guy. And so then Pilate, still trying to get out of it, says, okay, you can have him, but I'll whip Jesus. And when you see how badly he's beaten and everything, maybe you'll let him go and I don't have to kill him. And even at the end of that, they cry out, no, crucify him. And he gives up, washes his hands, sends Jesus off to be crucified. 3 days later, the women get up before the sun is up. It's as if the women were carrying a bit of the faith in this journey for these guys at the time. They went down to see what was going on. They got there and the tomb was empty. Isn't it amazing that because of that step of faith to go down there, God blesses them with a couple of angels to give them the message. Not just an empty tomb, but a couple of angels to say, what are you doing here amongst the dead when you should be looking for the living? I don't know about you, but if I came across a couple of angels on one of my morning walks, that'd be pretty impressive. That understanding of the supernatural that is around us, but that I could actually see it, would be pretty proud. Wow. These ladies see this and they get filled with it and they run back and they tell all the disciples, whether it's the 11 or the 120, I'm not sure who, certainly Cleopas and Luke knew the story. And if you look at the other Gospels, how many of the disciples went, wow, what great news, ladies? And by the way, who are the ladies? One is Mary, the mother of Jesus. You would think she would have some authority. No. Only two we know of from the other Gospels run back to find out what's going on. Peter and John. And when they get there,
They're blown away. In fact, when you read about it here, Peter sits in wonder at these things. You can just imagine what's going through Peter's mind, can't you? His denial of Jesus. What's this mean now? Jesus comes up to these guys and he sees that they're sad. He sees that maybe they're feeling defeated and running away. Have you ever felt like that? Had one of those days when you want to run away? Had enough of this? Everything that Jesus talked about and everything I've read about in the Bible and everything I've said this and it's just not working for me. It's just not working. That's it, I'm going home. Take me back to Emmaus. I'll go fishing. I'll go for a surf. I'll watch a TV show. I'll do whatever it takes just to tune out. Now, I need to confess that sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes the pressures of everything we're a part of just gets too much. And I sit there and go, why am I doing this? What's going on, Lord? What is going on? You know, sometimes you have good days and amazing things take place and sometimes you have bad days and bad stuff happens. Sometimes it's just tragic stuff. Sometimes people get cranky with you because you haven't done things the way they thought you should have done it. Yeah, that's the way it works. Not the way I should have done it, but the way they thought I should have done it. You know? And there's not much you can do about that. And there's other people in our world that, you know, Cynthia. I don't often talk about Cynthia very often. But Cynthia works in an incredible field down in Deception Bay. And it's probably not a day goes past when she has to ring someone up and talk to them about a situation that they're just finding out by Cynthia talking to them. And sometimes their response to Cynthia in that sort of work is not, wow, that's a jolly good thing. Thank you very much for ringing me up. Often it's, what the? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And yet she keeps going back to work. And she keeps making these phone calls to these people who are desperately in need and need help. And she takes that language that this just brings down on her. These guys are defeated and they're washed up and they're going home. They've had enough. What do they need? They need Jesus. What does Cynthia need when she has those days? She needs Jesus. She has some of the best prayer times on the way to work, even has better ones on the way home from work because it's been a tough day. What do these people need? They need Jesus. And so what happens is they're walking along sad and upset, and who walks up to them? Jesus. And do they recognize him? No. You ever had one of those days, or you've ever been so sad, or so in grief, or so tied up in what you're looking at? I think there's a word called navel gazing. So when you're looking at your navel, that you don't even know that Jesus is right there with you. You don't even believe those passages where it says, and lo, I am with you always, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's always with us. And sometimes we walk through the world and we spit and we spew and we do dummy spits. These guys are having a whinge. And when Jesus says, why are you upset? Why are you so sad? And one of them says, are you the only bloke who doesn't know what's going on? Have you ever said that to someone when they come up to you? How are you going? Don't you know what I'm going through? Can't you see my life is falling apart? The Broncos lost the grand final. What things, he asked. I wonder what Jesus was thinking when he said that. What things? I mean, he went through it. Did he have a smile on his face when he said it? What things? And then they tell him, oh, it's all about this guy called Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, a powerful in word and deed before God and all people. But our chief priests and our leaders, they handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. They didn't mention Son of God there, but no, it's okay. They got a bit of the picture, right? But we had hoped that he was going to be the one who would redeem. So in other words, they had put their expectations on Jesus, that he was going to do something different to what ended up happening. You ever been in a place like that? You ever prayed something and said, Jesus, this is what I want you to do. And when Jesus doesn't do that, you get upset with him. You ever done that? I do it all the time. It's one of my fall downs in the area of prayer. Hey, Jesus, I've got an idea. Why don't you come and help me do it? And then when he doesn't come in and help me do it, I go, what's the problem here? And then they say, and what is more, it's the third day and some women have amazed us. Hear that? Amazed us. They've blown us away. They've come back with this story that they went to the tomb and they didn't find his body. And they saw a vision of angels and they said that he was alive. And we heard this and we're going back home. And Jesus says to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The Messiah said that he would suffer all these things. I have one of my other translations here. Just beautiful how it explains some of these passages. When Jesus responds to them, he says, come on, men, why are you being so foolish? Why are your hearts so sluggish when it comes to believing what the prophets have been saying all along? Didn't it have to be this way? Didn't the Anointed One have to experience these sufferings so that order that he might come into his glory? So he's saying it loudly and clearly that this was meant to be. And then Jesus takes time as they're walking along the road to explain to them all about what has been happening. All from the scriptures. The coin doesn't drop yet, does it? They keep walking. They keep being amazed at what they're hearing, what they're being taught, how it's being explained to them. And then Jesus feigns to go on and they say, come and stay with us. And then it's only when Jesus breaks the bread that all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. Doing! Here it is. He's Jesus. It's Jesus. And just as they reach out at that moment to grab him, he disappears. He's gone. He's done what he needed to do. Now, I don't know about you, but after I've walked 12 Ks, I'm not in the state to turn around and run those 12 Ks back. These guys were so blown away that they said this, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked on the road and he explained the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning? You ever been in those times with God where he was just ministering into your life? The word of God was just bringing transformation after transformation. You were hearing a truth and that truth was setting you free. In a time of worship, a time of prayer, a time of ministry with someone else, our hearts burned. I don't think that's an abnormal thing. I think God wants us to have that more often than not often. Does that make sense? I think he wants the word of God to move in powerful through our lives. Let me explain a little bit more about this. The story goes on. These guys run back and Jesus appears to them. We're reading on in verse 36 and Jesus says, peace be with you. And they're frightened and they're scared. And Jesus again says, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet, touch me. Would a ghost do things like this? I have flesh and bones. And then he eats some food. And he does everything he can to give them strength and faith that they would no longer have doubt. They would be able to step out in strength and power that God would want to give them. And then he says this to them in verse 45. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus sits there and explains to them all that has been taught to them through the scriptures. From Moses, from the prophets, and from all the Psalms. Do you know about Jesus? From the prophets? From Moses? and from the Psalms? I could imagine that we do. I could imagine that we know more about the Bible than we probably believe we're acting through on. My challenge to us today, and it's interesting that Pamela finished what she said with about the burning of God's Word, the living Word. My challenge for us today is to let the presence of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus, burn in our hearts. Through the living Word, through prayer, through worship, through looking into nature, wherever you can connect most with God, let it connect. And let His truth be real. And it's not just about understanding in our head this Word. It's not just about having read it and saying, yes, I believe it. Jesus taught them everything. No greater teacher than Jesus, correct? No greater teacher than Jesus. He wouldn't have missed anything out on it. They would have had the best Bible study ever in that moment and in that time. But what does He say to them? Don't leave just yet. Why? Because I'm going to send someone more for you. I am going to send power from on high. Even if you know this in your head, you can't do it just in knowledge alone. You have to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. So wait until you receive that Holy Spirit. In the book of Mark, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, in the book of John, and in the book of Acts, five places, we read a phrase. And it says, and He will baptize you in water. Yes, Jesus will baptize you in water. And in the Holy Spirit. And in, what's the third one? Fire. Or power. Fire. Water, Holy Spirit, and fire. Jesus never ever meant us to go out and do it in our own strength. We can believe it, we can know it, we can study it, we can say it in Greek, in Hebrew, standing on our head, however you want it. It's not meant to just know it, you're meant to live it, but live it not in your own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you. I want to close by praying. For many, many years, this challenge comes with, do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? And many of us will cry out, yes, Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. Give us your Holy Spirit. This week, as I've done this study, I want to pray differently today. Because I believe if you declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. He resides in your spirit. He resides in your very being. He is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You have the Spirit of God if you declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But my question is, how much does God have you? How much does the Holy Spirit have you? How much is He working from the inside out, bringing about that transformation? He brings the transformation. I dress Dave up in nearly every bit of clothing I have in this church, and that would not change his appearance as Donnie. He might wear Donnie's clothes, stink like Donnie. He might hold Donnie's Bible. He might wear Donnie's cross. He might do all those different things. But unless it's an inner work of the Holy Spirit, it counts for nothing. I might dress like Jesus. I might grow a beard like Jesus. I might have long hair like Jesus. I might put a cross around my throat. I might do all those things. But unless I'm letting the Holy Spirit bring about the transformation work in my life, looking like it is only one thing. Being transformed is the big thing. So it's not just about having the Holy Spirit. It's about how much does the Holy Spirit have you? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you that you came to set us free from sin. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you talked to the disciples, you said that they would go out and preach repentance and forgiveness. And Lord, I know in my life that I need to repent of my attitudes. Because, Lord, I get bad attitudes so many times. I whinge and complain. You must get tired of my whinging. Father, there's areas in my life that need to be turned around to the way you would do things. And so there's areas in my life where I need to repent. There's areas in my life where I need to give forgiveness because I'm holding back in areas. And as your prayer says, Lord, you call us to forgive one another. But Father, more than that, you ask us to receive power from on high. And today, Lord God, I want to thank you that those folk here who call you by name of Lord have the Holy Spirit. But I want to pray, Lord God, that they would say, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to rule in my life. Lord Jesus, I give you permission to be the Lord of my life. I take myself off the throne and I put you on the throne. I don't just have you as an addition like I have a car, a house, a family, a job or career. I want to place you at the very center of my very being. I want to ask, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would bring about the transformation. You would change the way I think. You would change the way I act and the way I react, the way I live my life, the way I spend my time. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you bring about change and transformation in each of our lives, that we might have more and more stories and more testimonies of the goodness and grace of our God through his word, through prayer, through fellowship, through worship, and through meeting together, encouraging one another on. Father God, may your Holy Spirit be released in and through our very beings, bringing about your truth and your transformation. In Jesus' name, amen.